Off the Ball Rugby.
This is a big opportunity now for him to silence a lot of critics going into the summer with a bit of a bounce in his step, going to the Irish Tour with some confidence built up, and you know, really grab that jersey.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Welcome back to Thursday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast. Delighted to be joined in studio by Ciara Chant. Ciara, good morning.
Morning.
That was some fair last weekend's Dublin. Snatching a late draw against Waterford. We played it actually on Monday morning, the performance rankings for people who missed it, but the Hooter went, just goes over, and Dublin snatched it, be fair to say. Would that be the right word?
Yeah, they were really chasing the game at the end. You know, blow par kind of performance, but Waterford are a very, very tricky team to play. And I think they'll be kicking themselves now. That was their scalp over Dublin in the championship. And in fairness to Waterford, they've been coming up against the Dubs time again in championships, nearly guaranteed that they're in the same group or a quarterfinal draw. And that's the match that got away. But nobody wants to play Waterford. Dublin struggled, but I think Waterford imposed their game a lot on the Dubs there, did a lot of homework. You'd expect more from Dublin players. There's a lot of depth in that panel. But a draw just makes it an interesting group now.
Yeah. Rachel, you were there for Off the Ball.
Yeah, Waterford were just tenacious, weren't they, from the get-go? Like, especially from your own point of view, Dublin really struggled with the kick-out, I think. Mm. Waterford were all over that in the first half. Hardly saw Hannah Tyrrell. Her influence really came in then in the second half. She scored the goal, asserted a bit of dominance. But yeah, Waterford were just attacking in packs, playing real attacking football, running up the pitch. And Dublin seemed to be kind of running it up to halfway and then kicking low ball into the full forward line that probably wasn't working for them and overdid it a small bit.
Waterford are very, very hard working and they can run all day. The Murrays in particular do not stop running. But like playing in goal myself, I always struggled against the Waterford press on the kickouts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you'd nearly be identifying, right, which of the Waterford players can't feel the ball in the air and target that. That's their strength and that's where they can do a lot of damage. In championship, like Galway are struggling a little bit on their kickouts. Kerry are struggling massively on their kickouts as well. Armagh, Meath. So like Waterford can get a lot of joy in the championship if they get a few goals off the back of that.
How disappointed do you think they'll be with that finish? Obviously, you had them leading in the Munster final as well, just to give away that goal to Kerry. You're 2 points up with 2 minutes to go, leading at home against the Dubs, and they let it slip again.
Possibly a little bit of experience comes into it, having won games, big games in championship. Waterford haven't really, so if they can just get that scalp, then maybe that experience will get them over the line in the next few days. But they just need one win. Like, I was kind of quietly backing them for the Munster final.
Yeah.
I don't think Kerry are hitting or peaking yet. Maybe they're holding something back. But like they have two opportunities to big championship wins there. Look, they're still in the championship. They've Leitrim to play. That should be, you know, sealed already. Like, but yeah, I'd hate to be coming up against them.
Just to give people full context for this, so the All Ireland Senior Championship, it's four groups with three counties, and like you say, Leitrim are the other county in this group. So it's beautifully balanced and poised here at the moment, 16 points apiece between Dublin and Waterford, and Leitrim are waiting. Is it a hammering that Dublin need to give Leitrim?
Absolutely.
And if Leitrim are hearing this morning, what are they saying?
It's not good for Leitrim. But yeah, whoever goes down to score difference, then whoever beats Leitrim by more will top the group and should theoretically get an easier draw in the quarterfinals. But I don't think Leitrim are identifying either Dublin or Waterford the games they can win. They'll be looking to learn a lot from those two games, and then when it comes to relegation playoffs, to stay up, that will be Leitrim's target. And just to be able to compete, you know, if they can stay in either game for 40, 45 minutes, they'd be really, really happy, and that should be their target.
Armagh Meath had a draw last week, right? So that also leaves Kildare in the wings. And I guess there's a tinge of disappointment from the Armagh side, is there?
More so from Armagh than Waterford would be feeling like they were 4 points up with a couple of minutes to go and threw it away. And Armagh can't be doing that when you're getting to All-Ireland semi-finals consistently, winning Ulster, competing in finals. They can't be throwing away a 4 point lead, like never mind a 3 point lead, or like that's two scores. You can't be conceding two big scores in 3 minutes. You have to be able to seal out the game. So they're going to learn a lot from that. I think it's a tighter group than Dublin, Waterford, Leitrim. Like Kildare, probably fancy to finish bottom of that group anyway, but Meath haven't been playing well the past 2 years. Armagh not seeing out that game. Like if Kildare can just sneak a few goals and just, you know, see it out, like they won't be writing themselves off. Like they've nothing to lose here.
Yeah,
they might fancy themselves. Like, will they? Like they only lost to Meath by a point when they played them in the Leinster Championship and they beat them in the league. So it's not like you're saying, it's not like a almost Dublin Leitrim situation. I think Kildare could fancy themselves, especially when Meath probably didn't perform to the best of their abilities last weekend against Armagh.
And Meath are under pressure. They've got a lot of key players back. Sean Ennis is back. She was instrumental in coming back against Armagh. So Meath have to perform. You know, their season kind of hangs on this game against Kildare.
Moving on then to Galway, Donegal, because like Donegal are going through a bit of a transition, but then you're talking about Galway there in the kickouts. So
look, Galway are the only team that are unbeaten. They're sailing kind of, I know they're like that whole group, they're all playing Division 2. Galway are playing Division 2, but they're coming up against the likes of Donegal, Tipperary, Cork, who are our senior championship teams. But Galway at the moment are the in-form team, and why not? The depth in their panel is insane. But Donegal are really, really struggling. They have been, you know, it's, I kind of think it's between themselves and Leitrim to kind of stay up in the championship. I think Mayo might just have enough grit in them to stay up in Division 1. But Galway should, you know, they need to be hitting consistency through their group stages. They probably need to score a little bit more, like 113 against Tipperary isn't what they should be getting. Like defensively, they're great. They just need more scores on the board, and they've plenty of players that can do that. So they'll be looking just to hit a bit of form, come through the group stages, and then, you know, they're backing themselves for the All-Ireland, and why not?
We should talk about why Donegal and Mayo might have been in decline the last few years, but before that, Group 2 is fairly nicely poised. So Kerry do beat Mayo first day out, but this weekend is a cracker, potentially, because Cork have yet to play. It's Cork against Kerry.
Pick of the games, and like Cork, Kerry in any code is
no matter what.
Juicy.
No matter what.
But this Cork team, like Kerry, a couple of All-Irelands, you know, they've been consistent in that frame. But Cork haven't been living up to their name in recent years. They've probably, you can call it transition if you want, but Cork are winning underage. You know, they're dominating ladies football underage. Yeah. And they need to transfer that to the senior grade. You know, Kerry, was it a convincing win against Mayo? Not really. Mayo are really, really struggling. So this can be Cork's game. And if Cork beat Kerry, the championship is wide open.
Yeah, Cork are definitely going to be coming out with something to prove. Like, they only won one match in the Munster Championship, beating Tipperary. They lost to Kerry, lost to Waterford. Really lost poorly to Galway in the league final. I think they've got a big performance coming, and they've had a lot of time off now to put that performance together. Kerry won't have learned much from that win over Mayo. You know, I think this weekend could be the weekend for Cork to beat Kerry again.
Yeah. Agree?
Yeah. Disagree? I think it'll be tight. Like, Kerry probably have more experience and more footballers, but I never, ever write Cork off. Ever.
It's great to hear.
Said from experience.
Donegal and Mayo in decline, losing a lot of players, and this is generally a problem throughout the country, and primarily to Australia, so the AFL Women's. We were talking about this before the show, Ciara. It's an incredible incentive for young people to go to Australia anyway. We see that in Irish society regardless. It's very similar culturally, but the weather is amazing, in a nutshell. In this specific example, it's through the roof enticing, because you get to play sport on a semi-professional basis. What can we do in this country to keep our athletes here, to keep our women's Gaelic footballers in Ireland, rather than trying this other sport in Australia?
I don't know. I think the structures are pretty much there, bar the, like, the massive training grounds and the massive gyms and all that. I think in general, ladies football, particularly in like Division 1, you do have access to most resources you need, even at colleges level. Mm-hmm. You've access to whatever you need to achieve your best or get the most out of your potential. But I look at it, if these girls weren't playing Gaelic football, would they be heading over there anyway? Possibly.
Okay.
Be going anyway.
Yeah. You know?
Like I have a lot of friends that didn't make the county panel, but are footballers that go. So you have this opportunity. You live while you're young. Take every chance. You know, you can go over for a year. If you don't like it, you can come back. Like initially, I was very like against it, and I thought, God, until some of the dubs went. And how can I tell my friend not to go over? God, I would only love to be over there in the sunshine playing every day. God, like I'm a teacher. I like used to imagine I was a professional footballer during the summer, like because I had no job during the summer. Why not do that full time in the great weather, the great lifestyle?
Yeah,
you see a bit of the world. You know, why not do it? I don't think there is much that's going to keep them here. Like you write off a lot of, you might write off a season to go on a J1 at county level.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Is it not kind of the same thing?
It is, but what's in it for Ireland? You know, could we not even consider starting some sort of exchange program where we get the Australian athletes coming here?
Have you watched the AFL games? Have you seen the standard?
I know, but you can still come over.
You could still come over, but I think and the ball skills, I don't think you're going to get an equal trade there.
So then we're left with, well, what do you think?
Well, is it not then in our benefit to have like our players going over to play over there, because it's massive over like in Australia? Like I was over in Australia a year and a half ago checking out the venues for the Lions tour, and everyone was like, we're naming the Irish players back to us. Any Australians I met, they had no interest in the rugby, talking about rugby to us. They just wanted to talk about the AFL, and they're like able to name off the women, like the female players have gone over too. So they're building like a profile over there for themselves as well. So I think like, and the pride, we were getting off the Australians going, and you know, they're like, you should have to stay for a game. And we were in one of the stadiums in Melbourne, that massive stadium. They're like, you should be here when the games are on. This is a sellout all the time. And I just thought, oh my, like the opportunity to play over there and to experience that. But like, are they not maybe like some of them that do come back then, or are they bringing like an extra skill set maybe perhaps, or are they adding to the game? Are they adding to kind of maybe the, you can play, like for young girls, we'll say, for example, you could play Gaelic football, you could play for county, and you can play in Australia. Is that not like a great way to keep young girls in the sport as well?
It's making sure people come back though. You know, say at that Waterford match, Waterford were missing a Kellyanne Hogan, Dublin are missing Grace Coss. Just luckily, Ailish O'Dowd and Sinead Goldrick are able to stay in Ireland for the rest of the football season. I know it's the same with Avian Cleary from Meath. It seems a little bit unfair that some of the players get the chance to play out the full season here. I mean, that's best case scenario, in that you get the best players in the country playing here and then they get to go over and play semi-professionally. But it looks like that's probably not going to be the case going forward, because the AFLW is just going from strength to strength, which is great to see. But is it something that we need to change here? Been talking about structures and calendars with the GAA so much recently. Is it something that at some stage the LGFA and the AFLW are going to have to come together and say, we need to work around a calendar here, because the numbers are only going to go up and up?
I thought that with the change in their calendar, that it was going to de-incentivize players from going over because they wouldn't be able to do both.
Yeah.
But the numbers are higher than ever. So it's that's the attraction.
But does that come back to cost of living here as well, and opportunities? Like, is it county specific that more counties are vulnerable to this as well? Like you mentioned Donegal and Mayo, but it's not just them. Like you've players from Tipperary as well. Players from Dublin could go over too.
I think Mayo in particular have suffered massively from this. Like their players having to come back. Like, you know, the Kellys over there, Dana Finn's over there, Rachel Kearns was huge for them. She hasn't come back. Aileen Gilroy, who was their star of the future, like she was going to be Mayo football, she hasn't come back. Whereas with Dublin, girls have come back. Goldie comes back. Lauren and Niamh McAvoy, they went for a year, came back. You know, but Kildare are missing. Nessa Dooley, you spoke about Tipperary as well. Ashley Maloney is home. Orlo Dwyer never came back. So it's affecting the big counties, but also like losing a key player for the likes of Kildare, Tipperary, Donegal, that's a big loss for them. You know, that's a couple of scores a game, which is huge when you're fighting to stay up.
Can anything be done to develop depth for those counties that are losing those players? You can't just create players from nothing, from magic,
no.
But can something else be done?
No, I think it's the underage system. I think I know there was a bit of an under 21 system last year, 23s as well. But I think we just, like, Cork are going to hang on to players because they're succeeding underage.
Yeah.
Oh, we are doing well.
It's related to success, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think everyone wants to be successful in what you do.
Yeah.
If you're failing all the time in one sport but winning all the time in another sport, you're going to go with the sport you're winning.
Like, it's the players that are staying who are with failing counties is a harsh term, but it can be the reality for some. And possibly players who are getting offered the opportunity to go to Australia but say, no, I'm going to stay here at my county. Like, they're kind of remarkable people in themselves, aren't they? Because the Australian dream is so tangible.
Yeah.
It's an incredible offer.
Oh, massively. And we don't know people's personal circumstances as well. There might be players that, you know, shoe in to be player of the season over there that for personal reasons they're not going over, they'd love to as well. You know, but I think at the moment the mindset is try it for a year and see how you get on.
Okay, great. We're out of time, Ciara. So the Women's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship fixtures this weekend. So you have Kildare Meath, 12:45 PM throw-in on Saturday in TG Cahir. These are all on TG Cahir and TG Cahir YouTube as well. Dublin against Leitrim, which you talked about at Parnell Park, 2 PM throw-in. Same time at Lifford for Donegal, Galway, and then Cork against Kerry at Páirc Uí Chaoimh, 3 PM on Saturday. Ciara Trant, thanks a million.
Thank you.